Hey guys, what happens when you say yes to something that seems like a good idea, then doesn't, then you realize maybe it's just you being resistant to living your life? Also, why am I so fascinated and drawn to Bebe Rexha? Listen to find out.
What's happening today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Know what's going on. Let's go. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Hey everyone, did you ever agree to do something and you think, oh, that sounds fun, and then you a couple days pass and you're like, why did I agree to that? That sounds terrible. And also, what is fun? And who are these people? And what do they want from me? That's what happened when I agreed to do this show called Guilty Pleasures. I think that's what it's called. I don't know what the official title is. It takes place in Hollywood, you guys. It's a live show. It's no big deal. It's just the entertainment capital of the universe, Hollywood Boulevard. Have you heard of it? So I agreed to do this show, and then I went on tour, and then this very smart, cool guy who I don't know that well, an acquaintance of mine through the comedy world, Brian, and this other comic named Andy, they run this show where they play music, and they find comics and sometimes musicians who sing a song that's a guilty pleasure to them, a song that you like, but you feel guilty about liking, like maybe it's a bad song. It's a really fun idea. You know, it's a great idea. But then when I agreed to it and realized, oh, now I have to do this. And then Brian was emailing me saying, do you have any song ideas? And then there's also the pressure, you know, the pressure of having to come up with something. It's like when someone says, hey, what's your favorite book? Or what are your influences? It's like anytime I get asked, what do I like? It's like, leave me alone, man. I don't want to commit to anything. I like to live in a netherworld of gray area. I don't want to stand behind anything that I like or that I know. I'd rather just be under a rock. And that's what happens when you're lucky enough to live the kind of dream life where someone asks you to do a show like that, and then you're an asshole, that I'm the asshole in this version of the story, and you can't be bothered to come up with a guilty pleasure song. What a fun idea. What's wrong with me? Why am I so resistant to living my goddamn life? So he emails me. Also, I was on tour, and I was like, oh my gosh, I said yes to this. What the hell am I going to do? I mean, there's a million guilty pleasure songs, but then when you're asked a question, and you're put on the spot, and you're like, I don't know. I should have a list at the ready, and I don't know. And then he's done this before with people. So he sent me some examples of stuff that people have sang to like get my mind going in that direction. And so I finally got back to him, and my choices were that I gave to him was Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran. So romantic. Ed Sheeran. I love how he's just like, I'm a ragamuffin. I'm just a songster. I'm a street urchin, but also like ruthlessly ambitious. I don't know. I just heard him talk once and he's just like, I'm going to make it no matter what. And he was so fixed on becoming a superstar. I love that combo of like, I'm just a fair-haired redhead and sometimes I drink too much and make out with Irish ladies. I don't know what he does, but I sing along to him in the car. I listen to a lot of Hits One with my son in the car. And anytime my son hears music that sounds like it's from the past, you know, the music that I like that sounds warm and grounded and the actual instruments that are playing, not like now where everything's like overlaid and turned up and the bass is turned up and the samples are turned up and it's an all-out assault of the senses of music. Like that's the kind of music that my son's like, yeah, no, that's music, Ma. And we were in the car on the way to school and Led Zeppelin was playing And he looks at the radio because it displays the band name, and he said, what's a Led Zeppelin, Mom? And I was like, it's Led Zeppelin. He's like, yeah, what's a Led Zeppelin? And it was, you know, one of their guitar solos were just breaking it all down. And that's what I said. I go, son, this is, you know, they changed the face of music. It's Led Zeppelin. Before that, music had a more specific structure. I mean, it was the time of the music where people were breaking the boundaries, but they did it in this way that blew people's minds. I mean, I was giving him like a terrible explanation of who Led Zeppelin was. And as I was talking, I realized, and this is embarrassing for me to admit, that I had never even listened to a full Led Zeppelin album. I just let others do the heavy lifting. And, you know, year after year passed, and I'm like, yeah, Led Zeppelin, I got it, man. No, I get it. And I believe I do get it. I just haven't really listened that carefully or cataloged it. I never thought I'd have to justify the existence or importance of Led Zeppelin. And that's exactly how I feel about Roe versus Wade. Now, all of a sudden, I need to prove to you why and explain it. And I'm like, it's Roe versus Wade. It's always there, right? We don't question this. There's never a time where this doesn't exist. It's a new bit I'm working on, guys. I think it's maybe a little depressing, maybe a little too true. Okay, so that's me. Those are my habits. Is I listen to a lot of hits, one, a lot of hip hop, a lot of dirty, filthy hip hop, vulgar, sexual, drug reference laden hip hop at 7:45 in the morning with my 10-year-old son as we sit in 40 minutes of traffic to travel 3 miles to his school. That's what I do in the morning. I listen to Hits One. So Thinking Out Loud was my choice. And then I said Meant to Be by BB Rexha and Florida Georgia Line. I don't know the name of the band. Escape, the Pina Colada song. If you like Pina Coladas. So, you know, so I picked 2 newish songs and 2 old songs, and Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. Those are my choices, solid choices. I didn't realize that the Pina Colada song, that's what he put in his example to me. That's the reason why it was in my mind. And so they already did that song. That's a great song where the guy, he's bored with his lady, and then he puts an ad in the newspaper looking for a new exciting lady, and then the whole song is him like getting ready to meet this person that he, you know, contacted in their want ad, this mysterious lady that's going to spice up his life. So the whole song you're like, oh my god, he's like leaving his wife and he's going to go meet this mysterious woman, and then he meets with her and it's his wife and she was answering an ad too, and then they meet each other, and the whole song wraps it up by going, isn't that sweet? It was my old lady the whole time. And I'm going, that's pretty uncomfortable. You guys were both prepared to cheat on each other, but then you just swept that under the rug and you're like, oh, look at us, we love each other. So I like that song. Islands in the Stream, I don't know, there's just something terrible and wonderful about that. Islands in the Stream, I don't know, it sounds gross to me. So I ended up picking Meant to Be by BB Rexha and Florida Georgia State Line, because this song is repetitive and not great, but I find myself singing along with it in the car even though I don't want to. That's the manipulation of this song. In the same way, like the other morning when I woke up and Dangerous Minds was on TV, and I just started crying because Michelle Pfeiffer was talking to these urban kids about their lives, you know, and she's a teacher and she wants to teach them. And this is a terrible movie, but I found myself crying because she was trying to help them. And that's the level of manipulation that songs can have, that movies can have, even when you know it's not good and it's still affecting you. So this song, I hear it in the morning, I sing along with it. And the guy is this southern bro, you know, with a flannel and a backwards baseball cap. And he's like, ride with me, see how this thing goes. And it's just terrible, you know? And the first song is so like bro-y and macho. He's like, hey, baby, lay on back and relax. Put your pretty feet up on my dash. Ugh. Like, don't say that to me. But then there's another line where he's like, hey, hold up. Don't you know you're beautiful? And I like that he's like, hey, hold up, everybody. Stop everything. I got to tell this woman she's beautiful. So that's, you know, my secret guilty pleasure is like, that's what you want. You just want the world to stop and for a dude to turn to you. Ugh, it's so gross. And to tell you you're beautiful, you know, and that he just wants to ride with you and see where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Baby, if it's meant to be. And then they say that 100 times in the song over and over again. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We got nothing but time. It's like, no, you don't have nothing but time. Time is very finite. And it's not maybe we will, maybe we won't. It's like, what time are you coming home and what's for dinner is what I'm talking about. You know, and she's like, I've been hurt a couple times by a couple guys who didn't treat me right. And it's just so sick and infantile, you know. You can tell that underneath the lyrics is her going, I hope you treat me right. And he's like, well, aren't I just the guy that told you to put your pretty feet up on my dash? Of course I'm going to keep you right. Like, now that I'm really microanalyzing it, this song is disgusting. But there's a part of me that it is appealing to, just the romance of like, hey, man, just let it go. Let's see where this thing goes, right? Let's take a chance. So I agreed to do this song. Just got carried away right there. I didn't want to do it. That's the song I chose. And then they call me for rehearsal. And the whole day I'm like, I don't want to leave the house. I drag my kid to Hollywood. We get out of the car, you know, by Dos Burritos and Ripley's Believe It or Not. And there's all kinds of people there. There's just the smell of pot everywhere. That's all I can smell. But I don't say anything because I don't know if my son smells it or even knows what that smell is. But so then, you know, I got some pot and we smoked pot. No, we didn't do that. We just went to this rehearsal place in Hollywood Boulevard and on Hollywood Boulevard, and we rehearsed the song. The thing is, once I get out of my house and go there and meet with these guys, guess what? It's really fun, and it's nice to be around other people. So if you hear one thing today, just know that sometimes you have to nudge yourself to do things, especially if you have that personality type where you'd rather not talk to anybody and you want to isolate. Just go do that thing, and then you find out it's fun, and I get to see what's going on with these guys and connect with them. And they're both comedians, but they're also musicians. Isn't that a delight to be around people who are smart and have skills and are friendly and good people, as far as I know? You know, I don't know them intimately in that way. So we do the rehearsal, and so we rehearse, and you know, I'm thinking, can I even get through this song? The last part of the song has these manufactured hand claps for no reason. There's no build. There's just like hand claps come in. And so it's just another manipulation where you're like, oh, I'm really excited about this part of the song. And then it just grinds into your memory. Maybe that's where we're at as a society. Like, that's what it takes for a song to be a hit and to grab your attention, just like super repetitive. And then, you know, Bebe Rexha's pretty hot, and I still don't know much about the I don't know much about this band. It's Bebe Rexha. She's like a straight up pop sensation. She says, I've always respected the country genre, which is code word for, I think crossing over to be a pop star and a country star is going to make me a lot of money. Come on, she's genuine. Who doesn't appreciate the country genre? But I think that's what it's about, is how can we make a song? I think that's why it's resonating. The meaning is simple and honest. you know what? She's right, okay? She's tapping into something that I said earlier. And then the video is her being a waitress. That's the other thing. It's got that nostalgia. Like she's got a little 50s outfit on and she's bleach blonde. Like it's a little bit, you know, like porny. The busty waitress who's just like dreaming of a better day. That some bro comes in with his acid wash jeans and tells her to put her pretty feet up on the dash. Can you hear that in the background? That's the cat standing on his hind legs and trying to open the door. So, oh my God. Hang on. Yeah, it's weird because do I love BB Rexha?
I want to know why.
I don't know why. I swear to God, the thing is, I haven't investigated her really, but she just exists. And I think that's the power, is that she's in my head and I'm like, I don't know why. It's not like I was like, oh, I can't wait to listen to the new song of hers, but she's there. And that's what's powerful. How does she get into my head? Maybe I'll meet her someday, you know? What? No, I don't know. I honestly don't even really.
Answer, maybe I'll meet her one day.
Why do I love her? Because
we
she's.
Talk about that for 10 minutes.
I guess. I don't know. I guess I love her, but I don't even have a frame of reference for her. Like, if you asked me about Lady Gaga, I'd be like, oh, Lady Gaga, she has aches and pains, and, you know, and she's A Star Is Born, and she wants to be, and she wears all these crazy outfits. Like, I don't even know what I would tell you about BB Rexha. Like, I don't know why. I guess because she embodies, like, she's perfectly empty and full at the same time. You know what I mean? She's just like an icon of a woman that doesn't really exist, but yet exists. And there's something comforting about that. It's like the image of Mother Mary. She's just there when I need her, singing If It's Meant to Be. And she doesn't question, you know, BB Rexha is not like, should I not do the Victoria's Secret fashion show where I'm singing and the models come by in their underwear? She's like, no, I'm not going to question that. I'm going to show up in a hot pink outfit. I'm going to sing my song and it's going to appeal. Like, it doesn't matter what she says. She just exists. And that's powerful. She's not second guessing. I mean, I'm sure she has her own process, but that's the power of someone who's iconically beautiful in this way that doesn't, you know, there's no critique of it. There's no underlying. It just is there, like a Cadillac Escalade. You're like, yeah, that's a Cadillac Escalade. All right, I don't know where I'm going with that. I guess I explained it. I'm not trying to like hedge around it. I'm just saying. She's not. Oh, you know what? I guess I'm trying to think of like another example of like maybe Katy Perry or something. Like, I know too much about her, you know? Maybe that's what it is. Is because the thing that I like is people's humanness. That's what I like in comedy. I like the mistakes. That's where I live, okay? I live in the mistakes. I live in the second guessing. I live in the gray area. And that's what it is. And with someone like BB Rexha, I don't want to know your personality. You know, if you start talking, I just hear blah, 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 blah. All I want to hear is your big, broad, general songs that are just like hit a certain sentiment. I don't want to know your problems or your marriage or your fragility or your ego. And she's really amazing at that. And I appreciate someone that can exist on that level, that just washes over you like you're in a shower. And I'm like, why do I know this song? Like, it's kind of creepy, you know? Like, I can't get rid of it. But then again, I can throw it away and pick it up at will. You know what I mean? I don't have to feel guilty about it. I'm not like, is BB okay without me? You know what I mean? Like, where I'm like, what happened to Katy Perry? She doesn't have the marriage to Russell anymore. She cut her hair short. She fucking had the one shark incident. She was great at Roar. And then I abandoned her. You know what I mean? I feel guilt about that. I'm like, is she okay that I know I'm no longer interested in her? Bebe Rexha is like, ba-bam, I'm here no matter what. You don't have to question, am I going to fall apart if you're not a fan of mine? I'll just be here repeating that same line. Even her song, like, I'm a miss, I'm a this, I'm a loser, and I'm a hater. Like, if you hear her talk about it, she's like, you know, I really feel that way, man. I'm like, I feel like a loser. I'm a hater sometime. But then she punches it out to this, like, degree of broadness where it makes it this unquestionable statement and then performs it. I'm not worried about her. You know, she made it into something. All right. So we rehearse. It's really fun. And then guess what? It's performance night, guys. All right. I got to get dressed. I got to get in my car. I got to take off the gloves. Those are the rubber gloves that I use to wash dishes. I got to put down the cat poop scooper. Put down the laundry, and old mom's got to get in the car and drive to Hollywood. So I get there, and first of all, there's a guy in a bikini who has really ruddy skin and like a long shirt, like a kind of a long sheer sweater shirt over his bikini, and it's his real hair. It's not a wig. And he's walking down the street in Hollywood. And I'm like, I've made it. You know, I felt like I made it before, but now I feel like I really made it. And I'm also feeling a little bit foolish. Like, am I really going to get on stage and sing a song right now? And then I get there, and the bar is warm and inviting, and there's not a lot of audience member there. And there's Brian and Andy, and they've got another couple of musicians there. And they're on stage making it happen. They did their rehearsal. They're doing their songs. Some other comedian friends are there. Lizzie Cooperman is there. Matt Kirshen is there. And so, once again, I'm validated by the human presence and connecting with other people. It's not a bad thing to do, guys. And then I feel a little foolish for singing the song. And I sing the guy's part, which is a little bit too low for me. And my energy, like, I'm so jacked up because I don't usually sing music, that I get up there and I kind of run into the end of Andy's guitar. And then I start singing and I, like, don't want to screw up so bad that I end up screwing up. And that part that's repetitive, it's almost like I locked into a catatonic state and I was like, hey, man, to me, and on me. And I just kept saying it. And I actually ran over the BB part. Maybe I do hate her. No, because he was singing the girl part and I was singing the guy part. And then I had to stop within the song and they're still playing. And I was like, oh, sorry. And he was like laughing and he's like, that's my part. So then I had to sing a little too low for me. And he was singing Jimmy Pardo was there too. He was hilarious. He sang a Peter Cetera B-side. And so Andy had to sing her part. And guess what, guys? It was a delight. It was super fun. I'm glad I did it. We locked eyes at the end. You know, they trade off and on, the man and the woman, and just sing a song about love. And then by the time it's over, Andy's like, I kind of like that song. And I'm like, me too. It's about the purest form of love that you could ever experience. Anyway, I guess the moral of the story is, guys, I want to hear other people's, I'm sure this happens all the time where you say yes to something and then you don't want to do it, but it can't just be like, I want to know, like, what happened? What did you get out of it? And why were you going to bail on the thing in the first place? I guess it could be anything. I mean, the whole podcast could be about that. And also maybe guilty pleasure. I think that's a really interesting, thing too. Like, what things do we like that we think we shouldn't like, but then we like them? Oh, also, I'd like to give a shout out to, this was a while ago, I want to thank Eugene Cassie for giving me such a lovely review on my page. Eugene, you wrote the review on iTunes, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Honestly, it makes me feel like I can keep doing this, and it makes me want to do more. It really means more than you know, because, you know, it's not easy to put something out there into the void, and then if somebody like Eugene hops in there and gives a review, it's like, oh, it's not in the void. Fucking Eugene is listening. Hell yeah. I'm going to keep going for you, Eugene. So yeah, keep listening, and shout out to you. Thank you, Cassie. Eugene Cassie, is that how you say your name? Let me know. Give me a jingle. And thanks for listening. This was a lot of fun to tell you about. I guess the moral of the story is, you know, I'm a rock star and a social commentator now, so I'm not just a regular mom in the valley. Some shit to say, you know, and some stuff to sing from my heart, and BB Rexha is my muse. Oh, God help. Okay, thanks. Bye.